Day for Life is the day in the Catholic Church's calendar when we celebrate the dignity of the human person, from conception to natural death. In England and Wales, it's celebrated on the last Sunday of July. For this podcast, we've Skyped Bernadette Patti, a mother of five, who tells us about her daughter, Maria.
I was 18 weeks pregnant and went for my first scan, and it was the first time that my husband, I told him to stay at work because I was going to be accompanied by a nursery nurse student. I thought it would be interesting for her to see an antenatal scan. So we went to Addenbrookes in Cambridge, and it never occurred to me that anything was the matter. And the radiographer just said to me, I would like to go and see somebody. And then she came back and said, I think there's a problem. I'd like you to see a consultant. And I said, I'm happy to see a consultant as long as no one ever mentions the word abortion to me. So this very nice consultant came along and he checked me over, and he felt that it was highly likely that my child had a very rare non-genetic syndrome called Dandy-Walker syndrome, which happens in the first 4 weeks of life after conception. And nobody really knows why it happens and how it happens. But the area of the brain that's affected is the back of the brain, the cerebellum. And it can affect your balance. Some of the children with Dandy-Walker can go to mainstream school. Others can be severely handicapped. And as I was leaving the room, the consultant said to me, we can always pray for a miracle, and miracles do happen. So I felt from that moment that I was in very good hands. And he gave me the best care. I had more frequent checkups than would have been the norm. And I also made a big point of telling everybody I knew. I go to the local church, so I told the parishioners, I told all my friends, because the last thing I wanted was for people to be shocked when Maria was born, because I had no idea then how she was going to be. Out of all my five pregnancies, it was a very special time, which I still remember to this day, that I felt the love and support of many people. The most beautiful thing was that I never worried during my pregnancy about how things were going to be, and I think that was an enormous blessing. And as I'd already had three cesareans, a cesarean was planned for Maria, and Maria was the only child that I knew the sex of with the other children. I wanted to have that surprise, but I felt it was important to name her. And my husband's not a Catholic, and I particularly wanted the name Maria, so she was known as Maria Helen, and we were able to talk about her during the pregnancy. I was given a birth date by the consultant. It was 2 weeks earlier than normal. And I asked for the hospital chaplain to be present just soon after the birth. And the consultant was particularly nice. And he said, no, that's fine. You bring him into the operating theatre. So I had my husband and both the priests, both dressed in the green theatre garb. And I also was given a very special relic of St. Joe de Magella, the patron saint of motherhood. And that, in fact, went everywhere. Anytime Maria had an operation, that relic would go into theatre with her. And the consultant would actually say, well, have you got your relic? So my experience of the NHS has been an excellent one. And one of the funny jokes was that I wanted Maria to be baptised straight away. One of the nurses in theatre asked the two men, i.e. my husband and the priest, which one of you is the father? And both of them said, I am. So it's just a nice little story. The first couple of years with Maria were probably the most difficult, in that I didn't know how things were going to turn out, what school she was going to go to, whether it would have a nice atmosphere, whether it would have a Christian atmosphere. But one of the blessings with Maria was that because she was diagnosed at birth with this syndrome, we got the benefits and we got the care and attention that other friends who haven't been so fortunate as having a diagnosis at birth or shortly afterwards are sort of left in the big unknown. And it became very obvious that Maria was intelligent. She was actually a beautiful baby. She had a cyst at the back of her head, a slight protrusion that was very painful to her. And we had to be very careful that we didn't knock it and that we didn't lie her on her back. But she showed signs of you know, being an intelligent child, and things like physio set in pretty quickly when she was about 6 months old. They weren't sure at birth whether she was blind, and I suppose that was a big worry for the first couple of days. But she wasn't blind, she just was visually impaired, and later on in life had to wear glasses. By the time she was five, she could walk, and she was beginning to sign from an early age. So the best thing for her was to put her in a special school where she would be in a signing environment. So although it seems quite harsh, she actually went off at the age of three, which initially was, you know, a bit daunting. But again, we had a very nice taxi service that she would go in a taxi by herself, travel for 25 minutes with a support worker in the car. And she absolutely loved school because it was a wonderful school in Hertfordshire. The head teacher at the time was a practicing Christian, and so was one of her deputies. So there was a whole Christian atmosphere there, which for me was very comforting. The great demands were made on these children. It was a school for children with severe learning difficulties, but a lot was expected of them, but a lot was given to them. So Maria actually was a real joy to our family because she was so funny. She was a larger-than-life character. She loved her food. She loved people. She loved a party. She found things hilariously funny that we would have overlooked, you know, like Daddy once was putting up the curtain track and it broke, and she found that hilariously funny. At school, the science teacher was talking about how it was very dangerous to touch the Bunsen burner, and proceeded to go and touch the Bunsen burner and burnt his hand and let out a squeal, and she never stopped laughing about that. So she was actually a real joy, and we wanted to live a normal life as possible. So probably for me, that meant I did do a lot of running around, making sure that the other four children went to their activities. The other three girls went to ballet. They all learnt to swim to an advanced level. My son was in the rugby and football teams from an early age. So I didn't want them to miss out because they had a handicapped child in their family. My husband all along played an enormous part in our family life. It helped that he worked locally. It helped very much that he didn't have to leave for work until 8:30 in the morning, and that he would come back at 6:00 in the evening. It was also a great advantage that we had a wonderful carer from the time that Maria was 18 months old, because I knew that I was going to have another cesarean with my last pregnancy. And we had this carer who was a Great Ormond Street trained nurse, and Maria absolutely adored her. And they were wonderful therapy for each other. They used to make each other laugh. Maria loved books. She had a whole story, could sign along to the songs. Her favourite video at the time was the Tweenies. So we did make sacrifice. When we went on family holidays, we had to listen to the Tweenies there and back. And the Tweenies dominated our front room as well on the TV. So we did make sacrifices, but at the same time, our family holidays, we would always take the car, we would travel through Europe, and then we would have a family villa with a swimming pool. And for 2 weeks, it was a complete chill-out holiday, which was beneficial to all of us. So all in all, she was a great joy. And then when she was 14, she went in for a routine check at the hospital because she had shown signs of being unwell. And quite often that was because her shunts needed replacing. She had shunts put in to drain the cerebral spinal fluid into the abdomen. So they were put in when she was 2 days old, and they were revised periodically. I mean, with some children, they can go wrong regularly. With Maria, they lasted for several years. So she'd been unwell. We took her into hospital in the October. The operation to replace the shunts went fine. And then the consultant came and told me that they'd found high levels of creatinine in her blood, which is an indication of poor kidney function. And unfortunately, there was no specialist at Adam Brooks, and we had to be seen by a specialist in Nottingham. So you'll find that when you've got a handicapped child, things don't come easily. You do find that you do have to fight their corner. And also that things like, particularly with kidneys, that there's only 13 paediatric centres in the UK. So we had to travel 2 hours away to Nottingham. And they obviously decided that it was serious enough that we had to go that very evening. So we'd been in hospital for 6 days, and then we had to go all the way up to Nottingham. But again, she was seen by a wonderful team there, and the consultant nephrologist diagnosed her with having acute kidney failure and basically gave her a year to live. And as the time went by, that period kept coming earlier and earlier, and in the end, Maria died 6 months later and became very ill. But we had the support of an excellent medical team from Nottingham, to such an extent that the consultant actually came to the house, and we had a meeting with 12 other health professionals who were all going to support me in my own area around the kitchen table. It did mean that we had to travel to Nottingham every couple of weeks. We could have gone down the line of having a kidney transplant, but I realised immediately once she was diagnosed that it wouldn't have been a path for Maria, because she would have taken any drips or any steroid or any cannulas that were in her hands. She would have just ripped them out. So it really wasn't worth going down that area. I think they were quite surprised initially, because I was the first parent to have chosen the palliative care route. And they were very supportive, because they felt that sometimes people try to prolong their children's life to an extent that actually causes a lot of harm to the child. Maria would have had to go up every week for kidney dialysis. She wouldn't have been able to swim, which was one of the loves of her life, along with food. So I just knew that it wouldn't have been possible for Maria. I think it was a decision that my husband felt very difficult for him to accept. But I think he realised that it was the best option for Maria. So we had her at home. She didn't go to school. She was able to eat all the foods that she never normally ate. Like, she was with kidney problems, you can have a lot of sugar, a lot of cream, a lot of ice cream, a lot of biscuits, a lot of cakes. So in the last few months of her life, we have some consolation that she really enjoyed her diet. And then she died a very beautiful death with my husband and I. As we were washing her, she just slipped away. And we did a wake in the house. That she died at 9 o'clock one Sunday morning. And I started to notify people at 11 o'clock in the morning. And from 11 until 11 o'clock at night, people came to pay their respects. And many people say that it was the most beautiful thing in their life that they'd ever experienced, because there was this wonderful child lying with a smile on her face. So Maria, I have no regrets. She added a new dimension to our lives, and people still talk about her today. And she also had a wonderful send-off. The church was brimming. And even a couple of weeks ago, somebody who hadn't been at the funeral told me how moved people had been. And the school choir came along and they sang, and the deputy head gave a wonderful eulogy. And at the end of it, he doffed his cap and put his cap on the funeral, because he knew how Maria loved to see him wearing his different hats. So that's our story of Maria. And, you know, we still talk about her. No regrets whatsoever, because she contributed so much to our family, because she was funny. She was a creature of routine and discipline, so things had to be just so. And in fact, one of my daughters wrote a beautiful poem about how Maria kept the family in order. So even though she was number four in the family, she really did make a huge difference. And I think it probably brought out the best in all of us.
Bernadette Patti sharing the story of her daughter, Maria. If you'd like more information on Day for Life, please visit our website. That's www.dayforlife.org.